World leaders are gathering in Brazil for crucial UN climate talks, with the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres issuing this warning overnight.
Every fraction of a degree means more hunger, displacement and loss, especially for those least responsible. This is moral failure and deadly negligence.
Meanwhile, pressure is mounting on the Australian delegation to COP30 to resolve an impasse with Turkey over hosting rights for the next climate talks in 2026. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese hasn't made the trip across the Pacific to Brazil to personally vouch for Australia's case. You're about to hear now from the president of the Pacific Island nation of Palau, Sarangal Whips Jr. He joined me earlier from Brazil.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me. It's always great to be able to speak to you and the people in Australia and around the Pacific.
What's your view of Mr. Albanese's decision not to attend the COP30 summit in Brazil?
Well, I think every opportunity to engage is important. Unfortunately, I think the president of Turkey is also not attending COP, as many other leaders aren't able to get here. But it is important that we have a strong showing here at COP, to continue to let the world know how important it is that we host a Pacific COP. We would definitely have welcomed and we appreciate it if the Prime Minister could be here to join us at this COP. But, you know, we understand that sometimes there are other priorities. So there are people here on the ground, and we hope to work with them to ensure that the message is clear to all of our friends here and around the world that it's time that the Pacific host a COP and bring the focus to the Pacific.
Just how important is it for Palau that Australia and the Pacific win the hosting rights for COP31?
We've been to Baku, we've been to the UAE, we've been to Egypt, and for the first time we're coming across and we're talking about forests. But to take us back to have another COP in the Middle East, I think is really a disservice to really making COPs inclusive and being able to bring everybody together and giving an opportunity for people to see the challenges. You know, being here in Brazil, where we're talking about forest, is appropriate. Being in Australia and talking about the oceans is appropriate, because we're the ones that suffer the most. The world needs to understand the challenges that we face so that we can raise ambition and really deliver on the promises that we continue to talk about.
Are you confident that Australia and the Pacific still has a chance to win this bid?
Well, it's never over until it's over, right? So we have to do all we can. I'm a baseball fan, so, you know, we're maybe in the ninth inning, but it's not over. So we've got to continue to do all we can.
Did you have many conversations about hosting the COP31 in Australia and the Pacific with Mr. Albanese when he visited your country recently?
Well, I wanted to make sure that he enjoyed the Palau and made sure that he was there on vacation, not there to work. So I kept it minimal, but I did have the opportunity to share how important it was. And I know he shares the same feelings and how important it is that we work together to get this over the line.
Had you previously been given the impression that the Prime Minister would be attending COP30 in Brazil at all?
No, I know that he's been gone and out of the country for many days. I was never given the impression that he would be here at COP, no.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, and my guest is the President of Palau, Sarangal Whips Jr. The Albanese government has approved the extension of several major fossil fuel projects in the current term, some construction, some extension, including extending Woodside's Northwest Shelf project until 2070. What message is that sending to Pacific nations like yours?
Well, I think for Pacific nations, what's most important is the actions that we take. You know, I'm pragmatic, so I know that no matter what, people still need gas. But what we should be really focusing on is, so how do we get away from these addictions? And that means increasing our ambition in transitioning away from fossil fuels. So, you know, Australia's efforts and their recent NDCs that they've declared, which puts them at almost 70%. Of course, we'd like to see higher and always, but that's an example of actually taking action to reverse the trend. So I think working with Australia and making a 100% renewable transition for the Pacific is also important. So instead of focusing on the use, let's focus on reducing demand. I think that's really what we should be focused on.
If the rights to hosting COP31 are lost, what will it mean for Australia's relationship with the Pacific, in your view?
Well, I think Australia is an important, very important partner with the Pacific. When I was there earlier this year, I said it is our big brother, and Australia's leadership is key. You know, in a world that's fragmented and people are going backwards on their promises, this is a time where we really need Australia to lead and lead for the Pacific.
The National Party here in Australia has dumped commitment to net zero by 2050. The coalition partner, the Liberals, are about to decide their position. What's your message to those parties about the importance of climate change?
Australia, I think, suffers many of the impacts of climate change, from bushfires to droughts and the like. And, you know, one of the reasons why we want to host a Pacific COP is, you know, some of these countries, they only maybe face droughts or they only face floods. We in the Pacific get all of them. We get storms, we get sea level rise, we get extreme heat, we get coral bleaching, we get droughts, we get all of it. And that's why it's important that our message gets out there. And it's important that the people of Australia understand the challenges that we have and that we work together. And that's why Australia's leadership in the energy transition is so important, and high ambition for NDCs is so important. So walking back on any of those commitments would be devastating to the Pacific, because we look to the Pacific, I mean, Australia, as the leader and as our protector.
In July, the International Court of Justice handed down its advisory opinion that determined the Paris Agreement with 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature target is legally binding. What does that mean for Palau and other Pacific nations?
This opinion, of course, is truly historic, and especially means that now climate justice has a legally binding international law. And it really ensures that everybody takes stock and ensures that, you know, they do everything to reduce emissions, because it does harm others. Our hope is that with this opinion, now we'll see real climate action and finance and adaptation and support for loss and damage, and then really provide a clear path toward justice and, of course, survival of our islands and our very existence.
Mr. President, thank you for joining me again on Radio National Breakfast. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.